Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTÉ Radio 1.
Hello again. Now, there's been a lot of talk about the programme for government in the past number of weeks, but we do want to look at one specific line about which some on the opposition benches and indeed elsewhere have raised concerns, and that's the commitment to giving effect to a particular definition of anti-Semitism. The International Holocaust Remembrance Association devised a definition of anti-Semitism in 2016. It was quickly adopted by 43 countries around the world, including almost every member of the European Union, apart from Ireland and Malta. Now, critics of the definition say it could constrain any criticism of Israel, and the man who drafted the definition has also expressed his concern that it's being used to shut down freedom of speech. He says that was never his intention. But critics of Ireland, like Israeli Minister Gideon Saar, have pointed to the delay in adopting the definition as evidence of Ireland being soft on anti-Semitism, a charge that is rejected by the government. We're going to talk to our panel here in studio in a moment on that. But first, I've been speaking to Peter Beinart. He's a Jewish-American professor at City University New York's Journalism School and a writer, most recently, of the book Being Jewish After the Destruction of Gaza. And we began our discussion looking at anti-Zionism, anti-Semitism, and his view on the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism.
Well, Zionism, before the creation of the State of Israel, Zionism meant a range of different things. But since Israel's creation in 1948, Zionism is the ideology of the state. It's an ideology which says that this state essentially should be run by Jews and should have special obligations to protect and represent Jews.
And the term anti-Semitism, which is what we're going to be discussing, what would that be broadly understood to mean in the modern world?
Discrimination and hostility to Jews as Jews.
And in your opinion, looking at this debate over the years, is there frequently confusion between what constitutes people being, I suppose, anti-Zionist and people being anti-Semitic?
Yes. One of the claims of the Israeli government and of many of the supporters of the Israeli government around the world is that to be anti-Zionist, which is to oppose a Jewish state, is anti-Semitic, is that it represents bigotry against Jews. Now, there certainly are anti-Zionists who are also anti-Semites, but I don't think that there is a necessary connection between the two, because if you oppose a Jewish state because you believe in the principle that state should treat everybody equally under the law, irrespective of their religion or their race or their ethnicity, then I don't think that's bigotry against Jews. That's actually the principle that I believe in for all countries, that I would like to see all countries practice. I don't believe in the principle of Muslim, Christian, or Jewish states.
So, look, the government here has only been formed in recent weeks. They've committed in the programme for government to adopt a particular definition of anti-Semitism. They've pledged to, and this is a quote, give effect to the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance working definition of anti-Semitism. And this states that, quote, anti-Semitism is a certain perception of Jews which may be expressed as hatred towards Jews. Rhetorical and physical manifestations of anti-Semitism are directed towards Jewish or non-Jewish individuals and or their property, towards Jewish community institutions and religious facilities. I mean, the particular wording of that has provoked some debate both in Ireland and internationally. But that specific part of the IHRA's definition of anti-Semitism is uncontroversial. Would you agree with that?
Yes. I think the problem with the IHRA definition is in the examples of anti-Semitism that they offer, not in that initial definition.
And so where does it become problematic in your view? Where is there need for greater clarity as to what constitutes anti-Semitism and what constitutes fair comment or legitimate debate on the Israel-Palestine issue?
So among the examples that the IHRA definition lists of anti-Semitism is calling Israel a racist state. It says denying the Jewish people their right to self-determination, e.g. by claiming that the existence of a state of Israel is a racist endeavor. But for a Palestinian, it's quite natural that they would see Israel as a racist endeavor. After all, this is a state that's been declared apartheid state by Human Rights Watch, Amnesty International, and even Israel's own leading human rights organizations. It holds millions of Palestinians without basic human rights. It gives Jews legal supremacy over Palestinians. So if you say that it's anti-Semitic, why is it any more anti-Semitic to call Israel racist than it would be anti-Muslim to call Saudi Arabia racist? These are criticisms of the legitimacy and political system of a state. It's not anti-Semitism per se. But and if you take this definition and you say that this is an example of anti-Semitism, you're essentially saying that almost all Palestinians are going to be anti-Semites, because they're naturally going to see a state that denies them legal equality as racist. The IHRA definition really created, really been pushed by the Israeli government and its organizational allies around the world. And its purpose is to delegitimize and silence and even criminalize fundamental criticisms of the nature of the state of Israel. And so it essentially serves to shut down a legitimate debate about whether a state that has been deemed to be practicing apartheid, that has been deemed now by Amnesty International to be practicing genocide, and indeed has been accused of that by some of the world's leading Holocaust scholars, like Omer Bartov at Brown University, for instance, whether it's legitimate to have a debate about the nature of that state. And the purpose of the IHRA definition, as I understand it, is to foreclose such a debate.
And you are a signatory of another declaration, the Jerusalem Declaration, which seeks to specifically provide clarity on what is and isn't anti-Semitic in the view of the signatories when it comes to discussing the Israel-Palestine issue. I mean, you offer it both as an alternative and as an addition to this IHRA definition. Would you mind telling us just what's in that and what you see as the key point of difference and why you favor that definition?
The Jerusalem Declaration makes it clear that you can question Zionism. You can question the principle of a state that gives Jews legal superiority over Palestinians without being anti-Semitic, which is, I think, the critical difference. The Jerusalem Declaration is much, much more support among actual scholars of anti-Semitism than does the IHRA. My advice would be, if you're going to adopt a definition of anti-Semitism, it would be a good idea to also adopt a definition of anti-Palestinian bigotry. This is, in some ways, the thing which is almost never discussed, right? Which is that if we're going to talk about Israel and Palestine, and we're in terms of bigotry against Jews, we should also think about the category of bigotry against Palestinians.
I suppose, could you draw a distinction between the two? I mean, the Jerusalem Declaration deliberately moves to clarify what is and isn't anti-Semitic in the context of the Israel-Palestine debate, whereas the IHRA definition has its roots, I think, in the Stockholm Declaration, which is specifically related to the Holocaust. So they begin from different starting points. Is that a worthwhile distinction?
Well, yes, it's a worthwhile distinction, but the problem is that the IHRA definition, whatever the reasons that it was, purposes it was created for, has now been being wielded as a weapon in the debate about Israel-Palestine.
Could I ask you then, I mean, the current president in the White House, President Donald Trump, has made an announcement that seems to have taken both his own colleagues in government and indeed the Israeli government and the rest of the world indeed by surprise, this proposal to clear out Gaza and redevelop it as the Riviera of the Middle East. But with that kind of an opinion being held in the White House, what reception would you imagine moves by Ireland to pass the Occupied Territories Bill would receive in the United States? This is the legislation whereby goods produced on illegal settlements on the occupied West Bank, the Golan and East Jerusalem, that they would be banned in Ireland.
Well, Donald Trump is not the US. So I'm sure Donald Trump and people around him who are profoundly racist towards Palestinians, and who have no concern whatsoever for human rights or international law, they might well be hostile to Ireland for doing that, and they might try to bully Ireland. But if I were someone Irish, I would think to myself, what is our moral legacy as Irish people? We were a colonized nation. We know what colonization is like. We know the brutality of being seen as legal inferiors. That's our history. And so do we have an affinity with Palestinians because of our history? Of course we do. And do we have a moral obligation to try to fight against the forms of structural injustice that were done to us when we see them done in other places. And that's why I think people in Ireland should be very proud if they stand for Palestinian human rights.
And that was Professor Peter Beinart speaking to me before we came on air. And still with me here in studio, our Fianna Fáil Minister of State, Timmy Doolan, Matt Carthy of Sinn Féin, and Jennifer Whitmore of the Social Democrats. Timmy Dooley, 43 countries adopted the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism. Ireland hasn't adopted it. Malta hasn't adopted it. The delay would suggest there were concerns. So why now?
I think we were outliers, but I think when you go through the definition in its purest form, it's very clear that there is nothing that you could construe that would suggest that you couldn't express your views in a clear and concise way against the actions of the Israeli government. And I think there's a very real difference between being critical of actions of the Israeli government and being anti-Semitic. I think the definition and the commentary by the previous speaker makes it very clear that there's no correlation. But for sure, there has been an attempt by some at certain stages to wave the anti-Semitic flag, to close down debate, to push back against what I would consider rightful and appropriate criticism. But I don't think we should be browbeaten by that. But I do believe that it was important for Ireland, and I think the government took the decision, maybe a little bit belated, but there is a recognition that there is an increase too in anti-Semitic attacks, particularly online, and some of it comes from the States, because you now see people from particular backgrounds being, very critical of Jewish people for just being Jewish. And therefore, you know, as that gets more currency, people feel a level of ease at right. carrying on like that. So it's important to set out the definition.
Sure. So is part of the rationale for Ireland ratifying this non-binding definition of anti-Semitism in order to establish its credentials internationally because of concerns within the Irish government that it is being viewed negatively because of its stance on the Israel-Palestine issue?
Well, I think it's just the right thing to do, regardless of what others might think. To me, and I would assume the government, it seems like the right thing to do, to set out very clearly, in light of a significant rise in anti-Semitic attacks, general anti-Semitism being perpetrated online, that we as a nation and as a government would set out a very clear position on that. As you said, other countries have done so. We were the only two within the European Union. And for whatever reason, Malta haven't budged on that. I think it's the right decision of the government.
All right. Matt Carthy, do you support the government signing up to the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism?
So the right thing to do is to tackle anti-Semitism in all its forms and to take whatever actions necessary in order to do that. We're not an outlier, by the way. There's about 200 countries in the UN, just over 40 have signed this. So we're actually in the majority of states.
Oh, I said within the EU, Matt.
Haven't signed that. Okay, that's fair enough. This definition has become weaponized. That's the unfortunate facts. There's much in the text of the definition, I agree, that people might not necessarily have any issue with. But I don't think this definition was ever meant to be one that was signed up to by governmental bodies. I know one of the authors spoke in US Congress when colleges were using it as a basis to essentially police protest and utterances, and one of the authors said very clearly that is not the intention. This right. was a set of guidelines that that state should put in place. What I have a difficulty with is where this came from, because it wasn't in the manifesto of any of the government parties. In fact, in the last Dáil, the sense was, and I would argue the consensus across the Dáil, that we were better actually tackling real instances of anti-Semitism rather than getting involved in what is a contested space in respect of this. And I would have a fear that this appeared in the programme for government at the same time that it was clear that government were moving back from the previous commitments in respect of the Occupied Territories Bill. And I have a concern around that, because I do agree. I think your interview was excellent, by the way, but I think it is very clear that there is a short-term view in terms of the implications, where we need to look at Ireland's long-term legacy and standing in the world, and that has to be based on a consistent application of international law.
I want to let Jennifer Whitmore in here. Jennifer Whitmore, do the Social Democrats support or oppose the adoption of this definition of anti-Semitism?
We strongly oppose it. I think what this definition will do is it will have a chilling effect. It will shut down debate. It's actually giving credence to the accusations by Israel that both our president and the previous Taoiseach made anti-Semitic statements. And I think, you know, the fact that the current Taoiseach endorsed this while the Dáil wasn't sitting and it is in the programme for government and there hasn't been a proper debate on it. There's 100 human rights organisations have expressed serious concern about this definition and I think it's just bizarre that the Taoiseach has actually endorsed it.
Very briefly though, is there an onus on opponents of this definition to support the alternative definition in the Jerusalem declarations rather than leave a vacuum?
I think, look, we absolutely, I mean, we do need to deal with anti-Semitism. I mean, we have to be strongly against that. And I think, you know, that other definition does seem we should absolutely examine it. But the current, that definition that the Taoiseach has endorsed, that is going to shut down debate and it will shut down legitimate criticism of Israel in absolutely their abhorrent actions that we've seen.
We're out of time. That's all we have time for today.